Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're brand new, welcome to the Daily Hope family. We hope you'll enjoy the teachings of Pastor Rick Warren right here. I'm so excited for all of you to learn about your shape. It might not be the shape you're thinking of right now. Rick loves to use acrostics, and this one is S-H-A-P-E. Your shape, your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And one of the reasons I love this series and have shared it with so many friends is because Rick talks about the way God wired you and why you need not just know your shape, but how to use it to do the things that God designed you to do. So let's get right into it. Here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Using Your Abilities.
God has never made copies of anything. He only makes originals. He's never made a copy of a tree, never made a copy of a plant, never made a copy of an animal, never made a copy of a human being. You are unique. There's nobody else in the world like you, never has been, never will be. God uniquely designed you as an original. Why? Because originals are always worth more than copies. God said, before you were born, I planned you. I thought you out. I have a purpose and a plan for your life, and I have uniquely shaped you for a specific purpose. That before you were born, God chose who your parents would be, what DNA combination you would have, and He made you you so you could accomplish what He wants you to accomplish in the world. And God doesn't want you to be anybody else. He wants you to be you. The Bible says in Job, there on your outline, chapter 10, verse 8, God's hands shaped me and made me. And God planned you for a purpose, and He shaped you. Now, we use this little acrostic shape, S-H-A-P-E, to represent the five things that make you you. Five things that make you different from everybody else. First, you have spiritual gifts, and we looked at that a couple weeks ago. What am I gifted to do? And then God has put in you a unique heartbeat, a heart, which is, what do I love to do? Today we're going to look at your abilities. What am I naturally able to do? What are my natural abilities? Next week we're going to look at your personality, and then the following week we're going to look at your experiences. Good, bad, positive, negative, how God uses them all to shape you for His purpose. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to give you an overview of what the Bible says, what God says about your natural abilities and how and why He wants you to use them. Now, what do you need to know about your abilities? Well, first, there are two important verses. The first one there on your outline, Romans 12, verse 6. Read it with me. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. Now, that's obvious. What it says there is that there are no talent people. You may say, well, I don't have any talents. Well, you're wrong. I don't have any abilities. You're wrong. The problem with you is that you know what you're not good at better than you know what you're good at. If I were to say to you, give me 50 things you're not good at, you'd come up with a list pretty quickly. If I said, give me 50 things you're good at, you'd have a hard time doing it. The average human being has between 500 and 800 abilities. Study after study after study have shown this. You have at least 500 different abilities in your body. Most of them you don't even know you've got. They just come naturally to you. You don't even think of them as abilities, but you have that ability. And part of my job as your pastor is to help you discover talents that you don't even know you've got, abilities that you don't even know you've got, and help them put them into service for God and for good in the world. So there are no talent people. Everybody has abilities, hundreds and hundreds of them. But we all have different abilities. We all have a different shape. Now, you've noticed that physically, haven't you? Just look around. We're all shaped differently. Some of you are shaped like basketball players, and some of you are shaped like racehorse jockeys. Some of us are shaped like bodybuilders, like me. Some of us are shaped like ballerinas, like Doug Fields. But we all have different shapes. The problem is, when you go to school, they treat us all the same way. And we don't learn the same way, we don't look the same way, we don't have the same abilities, interest, heart, shape, all these things. So we all take these standardized tests like the SAT or the ACT or the PSAT and all these, and those things only judge one form of intelligence. We now know that there are at least 8 or 9 different types of intelligence. And as a result, they try to force us all to learn the same way, and we don't learn the same way, and we don't have the same abilities. We have different abilities, and they're all important. Once upon a time, there were some animals who decided to start a school for animals. And they decided that the courses would include running, climbing, swimming, and flying. And then they decided that all of the animals should take all of the courses. Now that's where the problem started. Now the duck was better than his teacher in swimming, but he only made passing grades in flying, and he was very poor in running. So they made him drop swimming and stay after school to practice running. This caused his web feet to be badly worn, so his grade dropped to average in swimming. But everybody felt less threatened and more comfortable with that, except the duck. Now, the rabbit started at the top of his class in running, but because of so much makeup work in swimming, he caught pneumonia and had to drop out of school. The squirrel showed outstanding ability in climbing, but he was extremely frustrated in flying class because the teacher insisted that he start from the ground up rather than from the treetop down. He developed the Charlie horses from overextension, so he only got a C in climbing and a D in running. Now, the eagle was the problem student, which was disciplined for being a nonconformist. For instance, in climbing classes, he could beat all the others to the top of the tree, but he insisted on using his own way to get there. Finally, because he refused to participate in swimming class, he was expelled. The point is that God has designed specific animals to excel in specific areas, and he doesn't expect them all to do all the other things. And when you expect everybody to fit into the same mold, all you're going to get is frustration, discouragement, mediocrity, and failure. A duck is made to be a duck, not made to be something else. And you were made to be you, and God has given you unique abilities, and he wants you to use them the way he intended for you to use them. Now, your abilities are the map to God's will for your life. Your abilities are the map. It points the direction. When you know what you're good at, then you can know what God wants you to do with your life. Look at what this next Bible verse says. God will equip you with all you need for doing his will. Now, notice it doesn't say that God will give you all the abilities you want that other people have. Like, I want to sing like her and look like him and think like her. And God doesn't say, well, you can just have any old ability. No, he pre-planned the abilities you were given, and he wants you to be you. If he didn't want you to be you, he wouldn't have made you. So he doesn't want you comparing with anybody else and trying to be somebody else. You give him pleasure. You give him glory. You make God smile when you use the gifts he gave you in the way that he gave them to you. So the Bible says, I will give you all you need for doing his will. God does not give you abilities to do something he doesn't ask you to do. On the other hand, if he asks you to do something, he always gives you the ability to do it. So how do you decide what you're supposed to do with your life? What classes should I take at school? Who should I marry? What kind of career should I? You look at your shape. What has God wired me to be and to do? It points you in the right direction. Because as I said, every ability is from God. All of them are important. It's not an accident. And he intentionally picked them. I actually went through the scriptures one time, and I read through the entire Bible, making a list of all of the abilities that God says I use for my will and I bless in the world. And I made a list. Here's just a very small list. It's probably 10 times that list. I'll just read you a few. God says, I get honor through athletic ability. It's in the Bible. Through artistic ability. Through architectural ability. God says I use, in the world, administering ability. Baking, boat building, candy making, I like that one, debating, designing, embalming, embroidering, engraving. God says, I use poetic ability, people who write poems, farming, fishing, gardening, leading, managing is an ability I give to people. masonry, molding, musical. These are all in the Bible. Making weapons, needlework, painting, planning, philosophizing, playing Xbox, machinist. Just thought I'd slip that one in there. Inventing ability, carpentry, sailing ability, selling, soldiering, tailoring, teaching, tent making, writing, and on and on. All of these abilities came from God. All of these abilities can be used by God. And all of these abilities have a purpose on this planet. And God says, I gave you your abilities, and that gives you a good direction. Now, I want you to write this down on your outline. My abilities match my call. My abilities match my call. Now, some people, you hear about them saying, well, I'm called of God into ministry. Well, every believer, every person is called by God into ministry. Some people think a calling is something that you do if you're going to be a priest or a nun, or if you're going to be a minister or a missionary, that God gives you a call. Every person is called by God. First, we're called to salvation, and second, we're called to service. So you have a calling on your life. You have a vocation. You have a life mission and a life message and a life goal and a life purpose. That's your calling in life. And how do you know what your calling is? Look at your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, and then your abilities. In other words, what I'm able to do, God wants me to do with my life. Now, God expects you to use the God-given abilities he's given you in six ways. I want you to write these down. These are what God wants you to do with the abilities he gave you. He didn't give you abilities just to use on yourself. There are six reasons and six things he wants you to do with your abilities. Number one, my abilities are to be used to honor God. First, your abilities, whether it's embalming or embroidering, they're to be used to honor God. And the Bible says this, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, that means any of those abilities I just listed and every other one can be used for God's glory. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. They're all important. Carpentry is as important as teaching, and masonry is as important as preaching, and managing is as important as music. They're all important. There are no unimportant abilities. God says, I spread them all out, and they're all important to me. So that means you can honor God by repairing cars. You can honor God by balancing books. You can honor God by helping people find a home and sell it to them. You can honor God by making music or making meals or managing an office or a million other ways. Whatever you do, he says, do it for the Lord as if you're doing it for God and not for men. And he says, do it for God's honor. Now, he says, not only did I give you abilities to honor me, but second, to serve others. That's the second reason. Your abilities were for the benefit of other people. And God says they're not just for your benefit. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this, God has given each of you some special abilities. Look at this verse. Be sure to use them to make a ton of money. Oh, that's the Reviled Substandard Perversion translation. Let me read it again. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to what? Help each other. Circle that. Help each other. Passing on to others God's many kinds of blessing. So with your abilities, you don't just honor God, you serve other people. Now, nobody is good at everything. Everybody want to agree on that one? Okay. Nobody's good at everything. What that means is you need me. I need you. You need the person sitting next to you. They need you and other people. Nobody has every talent. There are no superstar perfection people who can say to the world, I don't need anybody else. The person who says that doesn't realize how needy they are. We need each other. And during 40 days of community, we talked about this, how we're better together. I need you in my life. You need me in your life. We need each other because I'm good at some things and you're good at some things and the people next to you are good at some things. And that's why you need a small group, and it's why you need a church family, and why it works good in teams. We need each other. We're better together. Now, if you want to be successful in life, and who doesn't? I want you to be successful in life. My goal is to help you be a success. Here's the key to success. Build on your strengths so that your weaknesses become irrelevant. Every successful person does this. You build on your strengths so that your weaknesses become irrelevant. Now that means you work on what you're good at and just make it better. Nobody is good at everything. And let me give you a second rule of success. Team up with people who are good at what you're not good at. Team up with people who compliment you. One of the reasons this church grew is because I built the staff of people who are better than me in things that I'm not good at. And in all of our pastors, I'm good at some things, but Tom's good at some things that I'm not good at. And Glenn is good at some things that Tom's not good at. And Doug Fields is good at some things that, he's not good at anything. Doug Fields is good at making jokes of his pastor. That's what he's really good at. He's really good. Doug has the gift of humor. Everybody want to agree with that? Oh, yeah. And everybody has something to contribute. And nobody has it all together. So we need each other. Now, this, by the way, friends, is one of the purposes of marriage. That in marriage, we are put together to complement each other's strengths and to compensate for each other's weaknesses. What happens is we don't compensate for each other's weaknesses. We criticize each other's weaknesses. That's not what marriage is for. You married a sinner. She married a bigger one. When you put two sinners together, how can you have a perfect relationship? There are no perfect relationships. Everybody's got weaknesses. And in a marriage, you complement each other's strengths and you compensate for each other's weaknesses. For instance, let's say in doing the bills and in budgeting. How many of you in your family, the guy does the bills and budgeting? Can I see your hands? All right. Some of you are just scared to raise your hand. Okay. How many of you in your marriage, the wife, the woman does the bills and budgeting? Okay. All right. Question. Who should do it? Which one's right? The one who does it better. Duh. Okay. That's not like in the Bible, there's some role that says, here's what the guy's supposed to do, and here's what the girl's supposed to do. No. Who's ever better? You compensate for each other's weaknesses. That's why I always let Kay drive. She's a much more careful driver than I am. You know, I get distracted. I'm looking over here. Hey, what about, let's change the world. How about turning the corner, honey? You know, the absent-minded professor kind of thing. Now, this also works at work. For maximum effectiveness, you have a business. You want your company to be effective? Here's the key. Staff by shape. Find out what people's shape is and put them in the position that they're good at. And when you do that, then you don't have to manage them, you don't have to supervise them, you don't have to reward them, you don't have to motivate. Why? Because they're doing what they love to do and they're good at it. And it just moves ahead. And that's what we do in all of our lay ministries. We find people who are good at certain things, say, go with it, go.
Thank you so much for joining us on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope today. Hey, I'm wondering, have you ever asked the question, what does God want me to do with my life? If you're like me, of course you have. And you're not alone. God intentionally created you to fulfill a unique purpose. It's so important that you discover how you can live the full and abundant life that God designed just for you in the Shape to Make a Difference Bible study. It was created by Pastor Rick and taught by Pastor Eric Reese. Now, in this study, you're going to see how the acrostic, S-H-A-P-E, which stands for Spiritual Gifts, Heart, Abilities, Personality, and Experiences, and it will reveal how God wired you and how you can use your shape to do the things that God made you to do. This is a 6-session video and workbook study, and it's going to help clarify to you your future goals, and it shows you how you can have the most fulfilling life possible, a life lived for God's purposes by God's design. Now, no matter what your age is, it's never too soon or too late to discover what God has shaped you to do. And this life-changing study kit is perfect for personal or small group study. We so appreciate all your prayers and support. And today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people all over the world, we're going to send you your very own copy of the Shape to Make a Difference 6-session video and workbook Bible study. It can really make a difference in your life. Just go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's PastorRick.com, and that's got two R's in the middle, or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It means so much to us at Daily Hope. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.